Okay, good to see everybody. And so we're going to start our evening Bhagavad Gita discussion, class, study, whatever you may call it. And we're on the 18th chapter, getting ready to finish the Bhagavad Gita probably in about a week, if I estimate correctly. Of course, the last few verses, there's a lot to say about them. So we're on the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. First, we're going to chant Jai Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Gopi Jana Malava Kiri Varada Hoti Gopi Jana Malava Kirivaradhati Yashodanandana Vrajajano Ranjana Yashodanandana Vrajajano Ranjana Yamunatira Manachari Yamunatira Manachari Jaya Radha O Madhuva Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunjabihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Kiri Bharati Gopi Jana Vallabha Kiri Bharati Haruji Sudanandana Rajajanu Ranjana Shodanandana Rajajanu Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jai Rad O Madhuva Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunya Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatakacharya Ostra Tera Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace of Ayachananda Bhaktivananda Gosami Maharshila Prabhupad Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Gijai Anantagoti Vaishnava Vrind Gijai Namacharya Srila Vilas Thakur Gijai Friends say Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sridvaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Gijai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Sayamkun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gijai Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturam Kijai, Jagadapasami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Shivati Lasidevi Kijai, Sangha Bhakta, Vrinda Kijai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurani Chani Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarine. So, Om Magana Tivedanta Shagran Jana Shlakaya Chakshura Meditam Yena Tasmai Shivadeva Maha. So I offer my respectful obeisances and the lotus feet of my spiritual master's divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, Srila Prabhupada Gijai, so by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are going to continue with our Bhagavad Gita study. And here we go. We're on the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and I believe it's text 22. We're going to start with today. So, not many texts left in the 18th chapter, and then we'll finish with the Gita, and then we go on to the nectar of devotion, and we'll learn how to perform devotional service. So, let us go. Yatu Krishna Vadikasmin Karye Saktam Ahaitukam Atatvarta Ipadhapam Cha Tatamasam Udavitam. Yat, that which to Vat Krishna Vat is all knowledge, Kasmin in one Karye work, Saktam attached, Ahaitukam without cause. Atatva artavat, without knowledge of reality, alpam, very meager, cha, and tat, that, tamasam, in the mode of darkness, all the time is said to be. And that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of work is the all in all, without knowledge of the truth, and which is very meager, is said to be in the mode of darkness. Just a little review here. Like in the mode of passion, one sees one spiritual nature in all the divided living entity, in the mode of goodness, one sees one spiritual nature in all the different living entities. Doesn't see every living entity as one person, but sees one specific type of spiritual nature equal in every living entity. That's mode of goodness. Mode of passion, one sees different types of living entities in different bodies, male, female, American, Russian, you know, animal, plant, like that. And then in the mode of ignorance, one doesn't even develop a philosophy. One's just like, pig out. You ask someone, what are you? I'm a carpenter. Or I'm a dancer. Or I'm a this. And, you know, they're just identifying with the work and not actually thinking about what your nature is, who you are. What's going to happen at the time of death? Actually, no philosophy. It's just like you go to the pub at night and you drink and you go wake up in the morning. God knows what you do at night, which I'm not going to describe because I'm a sannyasi. And you wake up in the morning, go to work, go to the pub at night, you know, just over and over again. It's just like be here now. I remember there was one famous book in the 1960s and 70s called Be Here Now, which was actually written by a famous person who propagated the need to take LSD as a sacrament. Be here now. Just be wherever you are. You know, so human beings mean, or to be a human being means more than being here now. I mean, the animal can be just like present in the ever-present, you know, but the animal's there. It's not thinking about the future, not thinking about the past. It's just thinking what impulses. Okay. So that's in the mode of ignorance. Generally, animals are in the mode of ignorance. You know, a touch of passion. Obviously, you got to have a touch of passion, because if you're just in ignorance, you'll just be sleeping all the time. So the knowledge of the common man is always in the mode of darkness or ignorance, because every living entity in conditional life is born into the mode of ignorance. One who does not develop knowledge through the authorities or scriptural injunctions has knowledge that is limited to the body. And that if you are sad, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. You know, it's like a bear grunting or a dog barking. I mean, for example, what do they say? A dog only knows, you know, you may think a dog knows other things, but anyway, the dog either will see something, either have sex with it or eat it, or pass urine on it. Why does a dog pass urine on something? To declare something to be his property. Anyway. He is not concerned about acting. I'm not going to talk more about that. A dog's pass urine to a certain height, and they can tell whether another dog who's bigger than them has actually declared that particular area to be his or her property. So he is not concerned about acting in terms of the directions of the scripture. For him, God is money. Knowledge means the satisfaction of bodily demands. Just like gross bodily demands. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's it. No philosophy. Such knowledge has no connection with the absolute truth. It is more or less like the knowledge of ordinary animals, which is what I just said. The knowledge of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. Such knowledge is described here as the product of the mode of darkness. In other words, Knowledge concerning the spirit soul beyond this body is called knowledge in the mode of goodness. Knowledge produces many theories and doctrines by dint of mundane logical mental speculation as a product of the mode of passion. And knowledge concerned only with keeping the body comfortable is said to be in the mode of ignorance. It's just like, ooh. In other words, just like, you have this, what is this? Pranamoya. Yeah, pranamoya. So anamoya and pranamoya. We talked about this before. Anamoya means the consciousness of just like food. It's like a little baby, for example. I know you all think how cute little babies are. It's funny. But little babies are generally in the anamoya and pranamoya platform. What does that mean? Food. Eat. Hungry. And pranamoya means the feelings of the body. Oh, this cat has such nice fur. Let me pet it. Ooh, it's so nice. It's pooing. That's pranamoya. Sorry about that. And manamoya is the mental platform, like it's passion. You get up to passion. Manamoya, then vijnanamoya, you're getting a little bit into goodness there. Vijnanamoya, that means goodness. And then if you transcend vijnanamoya, you get to anandamoya. Anandamoya, that's completely spiritual. So we should rise above the anamoya platform. It's not that we should be like the Pavlovian dogs salivating every time we hear a bell. I mean, just, I gave that example the other day. I was giving Bhagavan Time class that the RT bell was ringing, not the altar, the offering bell was ringing on the altar when I was giving class. And I said, if you're Krishna conscious, you will think how nice it is that Krishna is getting to take some food. Sula Shigaro Hari, that beautiful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And if you're in the mode of ignorance, you'll be thinking, that bell means there's food being offered. And as soon as it comes off the plate, I'll eat. So, or if you're in the mode of passion, you're thinking, oh, that means class is going to be over very soon. Thank you. So, all right, apart from that, you know. Niyatam Sangha Rahitam Araga Dvesha Veshata Kritam Apala Prepsana Karma Yatat Satvikam Uchute. Niyatam regulated, Sangha Rahitam without attachment, Araga Dveshataha without love or hatred, Kritam Dan Opa Prepsana. By one without desire for fruit of result, karma, action, yat, which, that. Sattvikam in the mode of goodness, uchite is called. That action which is regulated and which is performed without attachment, without love or hatred. We're talking about material love. And without desire for fruit of results is said to be in the mode of goodness. In other words, the action by which one is doing the right thing. Now, in the material mode of goodness, you take pleasure because I'm doing the right thing. In the spiritual mode of goodness, you're also regulated and you're not materially attached, but you're doing it with love, Krishna. It's a little bit different manifestation. In the material mode of goodness, you like doing the right thing, feeling, I'm doing the right thing, I'm dharma. And there's a pride there, of course, and that's a touch of passion. Regulated occupational duties as prescribed in the scriptures in terms of the different orders and divisions of society, we're talking about varnashram, performed without attachment or proprietary rights and therefore without any love or hatred, and performed in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of the Supreme without self-satisfaction or self-gratification are called actions in the mode of goodness. So obviously this is action in one sense being described in a transcendental mode of goodness, but also if you take away that performed in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of the Supreme, it's in the material mode of goodness. So it can refer, the verse can refer to both, although Prabhupada here is making reference to the transcendental mode of goodness or Krishna consciousness. Next text. Yattu kamik sunā karma sahankāreṇa bhā punaha Priyate Bhagavad Sam, Bhagavadja Samudharatam. Yet that which too but kama ipsana by one with desires for fruit and results, karma work, sa ahankarena with ego, va or punaha again, priyate is performed, bahula ayasam with great labor, tat that rajasam in the mode of passion, udharatam is said to be. But action performed with great effort by one seeking to gratify his desires enacted from a sense of false ego is called action in the mode of passion. In other words, the motivation is, I want to gratify my desires and I am important. Because, you know, false ego means I am important and also I want to gratify my desire. That's action in the mode of passion. Pretty easy to understand. Great effort. Like, I usually give the example of my father, who would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning before Mangalarti. And he didn't go to Mangalarti. There wasn't Mangalarti at that time. And he would go to work. And at that point, early in my life, my father had a cleaning business, so he had to go and start the boilers in the dry cleaning business. He had several different stores. So that's at 3 o'clock in the morning. He would come back at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Practically every night, except for maybe Sunday. Anubandham chayam hinsam anapeksha chaporusham mohadarabhyute karma yattat tamasam uchite abandham, anubandham, a future bondage, chayam, destruction, hinsam, distress to others, anapeksha, without considering the consequences, cha, also, Purusham, self-sanctioned, mohat by illusion, arabhyate is begun, karma work, yat which, tat that, tamasam, in the mode of ignorance, uchite is said to be. That action performed in illusion, in other words, without any understanding or even thinking about who you are, or what your duty is, in disregard of scriptural injunctions, you know, who cares what it says in the scripture, you know, who said it? Who cares that God says, you know, thou shalt not kill? And without concern for future bondage or for violence and distress caused to others is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Pretty self-explanatory. One has to give account of one's actions to the state or to the agents of the Supreme Lord called the Yamadutas. They're the personalities who take care of you when you leave your body. Beware, they're coming to take me away, they're coming to take me. Anyway, irresponsive work is destructive because it destroys the regulative principle of scriptural junction. It is often based on violence and is distressing to other living entities. Such irresponsible work is carried out in the light of one's personal experience. You know, that feels good, I think it should be done. Okay, or there's no absolutes, a person would say. This is called illusion. And such all such illusory work is a product of the mode of ignorance. And now, mukta sango naham bhavi rityutsaha samanditaha siddhya siddhyor nirvikara kartasatika uchite. Mukta sanga, liberated from all material association, anaham bhavi, without false ego, dhriti, with determination, utsaha, and great enthusiasm, samanditaha, qualified city and perfection, asiddhyor, and failure, nirvikaraha, without change, karta, workers, sattvikaha, in the mode of goodness, uchite, he said to be. One who performs his duty without association with the modes of material nature, without false ego, with the great determination and enthusiasm, and without wavering in success or failure, is said to be a worker in the mode of goodness. Now, that's very similar to this verse in the Upadeshamrita by Srila Rupa Goswami. What is it? Utsahan nischaya dharyat tat tat karma pravartana sangos chaga sato kritte sadhya bhakti prasidyati. So what does that verse say? Same thing as here, basically. One should be enthusiastic, determined, like that, steady. You know, that's the same thing, without wavering success or failure. Tata karma pravartanat, following the rules and regulations. Sangos chagat, giving up bad association. Sato vritte, serving and following the footsteps of the great personalities. And these are the principles which lead to enhancement of bhakti. So, first of all, we have to understand, how can one be enthusiastic? About what? You say, I want you to be enthusiastic about pleasing Krishna. I don't love Krishna yet. So how do you do it? Well, there's different other ways to stir you up so you can be enthusiastic. One is, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may be enthusiastic because they want liberation and get out of this world. Or one may be enthusiastic even better because they want to please Krishna's representative. And I mentioned before that that's one of the aspects of what makes me or causes me sometimes to be enthusiastic. I want to please His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Utsahan nischyet dharyat. So there has to be some source of enthusiasm. What is your goal? What is your purpose? And also the source of your determination. Determination also leads you to avoiding bad association, because what is your goal? You have to be goal-oriented, as we hear in the second chapter of the Gita. Those who are actually on this path are successful and quickly make progress there. Let's say their goal is one. They're focused. And practically speaking, anybody who's successful in this world has to be focused. And success doesn't drop out of heaven. You got to really work at it. Anything you do, you got to work at it to be successful. Otherwise, you're just like in the mode of ignorance. So, this is a worker in the mode of goodness. So that's how you identify it, if someone is in the mode of goodness. Always enthusiastic, never just like, oh, I can't go on anymore. Oh, can't do this. I'm just hopeless. Oh, no, it's too much for me. 16 rounds, and I'm waking up early. Oh my God. Because you're not thinking of your goal. You're thinking of your goal, whatever your goal is. I mean, obviously, liberation, pleasing Prabhupada, pleasing your master, pleasing Krishna, hearing the holy names because you have a taste. That's how you be enthusiastic. Anyway, so a person in Krishna consciousness is always transcendental to the material modes of nature. He has no expectations for the result of work entrusted to him because he's above false ego and pride. Still, he is always enthusiastic till the completion of such work. He does not worry about the distress undertaken. He is always enthusiastic. He does not care for success or failure. He is equal in both distress and happiness. Of course, he wants to be successful because he wants to please Krishna. But he leaves the results up to Krishna. As we mentioned before, there's five factors in action. Remember that? Such a worker is situated in the mode of goodness. Get the mode of passion, the worker. Ragi karma palapri tsur lubdo him sakmako sujihi. Oh, someone's asking me a question. There's trouble. Does everyone have trouble hearing? I mean, because according to... Yeah, the mic is actually... Well, maybe I'm on the wrong mic. Yeah, I'm on the wrong mic. Thank you for reminding me.
Okay. I actually switched mics right now. And it will get louder in a second as soon as... Hold on a second. I just wanted to make sure the audio setting is right. Yeah, actually the mic's better. Okay, thank you for reminding me. Okay, on that note, because I was using the wrong mic. I had several mics here, and I had to set that up in software. Ragi karma palapriksur lubdo himsatmako shuchihi arsha shokan vita karta rajasa parikirtitaha. Okay. One second. Ragi, very much attached. Karma, pala, the fruit of the work. Prepsu, desiring. Lubdaha, greed. Or greedy. Himsa Atmakaha, always envious, Ashuchihi, unclean, Harsha, Shoka, Ananvita, subject to joy and sorrow, Karta, such a worker, Rajasaha, in the mode of passion, Parikirtitaha, is declared. The worker who is attached to work and the fruits of work, desiring to enjoy those fruits, and who is greedy, always envious, pure, impure, moved to joy and sorrow, said to be the mode of passion. Do we find ourselves sometimes joyful, sometimes sorrowful? You know, today I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, I'm in a bad mood. Emotions. Nothing wrong with emotions. I'm not criticizing emotions. So we have to rise to the mode of goodness. So let me see what else I want to say about this. Joy and sorrow. Yes, fluctuating between joy and sorrow, and sometimes envious of others. And we really want to enjoy the fruits. Not only the fruits in terms of the gross fruits, but especially the subtle fruits of profit, adoration, and distinction, that we want to be considered special, God's gift to humankind, God's gift to the Krishna consciousness movement. A person is too much attached to a certain kind of work or to the result. He has too much attachment for materialism or hearth and home, wife and children. Such a person has no desire for a higher elevation in life. He is simply concerned with making this world as materially comfortable as possible. He is generally very greedy, and he thinks that anything attained by him is permanent and never to be lost. Such a person is envious of others and prepared to do anything wrong for sense gratification. I just want to comment. These are general qualities. And as we've oftentimes mentioned before, people are mixtures of different modes. They may not be exhibiting all these qualities. They may be exhibiting some of them, and some of the qualities in the mode of goodness, and some of the qualities in the mode of passion, which is very rare, practically impossible. Practically impossible to find someone who is completely 100% in one particular mode. But these just gives you an idea. You know, you can't go to someone and just check the boxes. You know, you're like this, but not like that, because everybody's a mixed bag. Therefore, such a person is unclean, does not care whether his earning is pure or impure. And it also depends on the day. Some days you're a worker in the mode of goodness. Some days you're a worker in the mode of passion. Other days you are drunk. Sorry. You are in the mode of ignorance. He is very happy if his work is successful. He's very much distressed when his work is not successful. Such is the worker in the mode of passion. Yeah, sometimes we're successful and sometimes we're not. But as long as we can serve Krishna with the results of our activities and with our activities, we're happy. Very important. Because many times we endeavor to do things and externally it turns out to be a failure. And then we just think, you know, what's the use of my life? It's a failure. And other times things turn out well and we think, I am really a good devotee. I got a lot of talents, a lot of intelligence. I'm really God's gift to the Krishna conscious movement. We think like that sometimes. So, ayukta prakrita stabda sato nais kritiko lasaha vishadi dirga sutri cha karta tamasa uchite. Ayukta, not referring to the scriptural injunctions. Prakritaha, materialistic, stabda, obstinate, shataha, deceitful, naiskritikaha, expert in insulting others, ala saha, lazy, vishadi, morose, dirga, sutri, procrastinating. That means taking a long time to do something. Cha, also, karta, worker, tamasaha, in the mode of ignorance, uchite is said to be. Now, as I mentioned before, it's not generally, it's not that one is in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. It's mixed. So we have to notice which of the qualities are we exhibiting, manifesting, or experiencing at a particular time. So we can see whether we're in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. because we keep switching throughout the day, throughout the month, whatever. When the moon is in a certain cycle, it may make us or stimulate us to be in a different mode of nature. The worker who is always engaged in work against the injunction of the scripture was materialistic, obstinate, cheating, expert in insulting others, and was lazy, always morose, and procrastinating, and said to be a worker in the mode of ignorance. So, as I said before, it's not that we may have all those qualities, but we may exhibit one of those qualities at a particular time. I mean, how many times are we actually obstinate? Oops. How many times do we actually insult others? How many times do we become morose? So, you know, we switch into different gears. It's like a car. You know, you're switching a car into different gears, first, second, third, fourth, and happens to be a race car, fifth, or happens to be a truck, you can go to 15 gears. So, purport. In the scriptural injunctions, we find what sort of work should be performed and what sort of work should not be performed. Those who do not care for these injunctions engage in work not to be done, and such persons are generally materialistic. They work according to the modes of nature, not according to the injunctions of the scripture. Such workers are not very gentle, and generally, they're always cunning and expert in insulting others. They are very lazy. Even though they have some duty, they do not do it properly. They put it aside to be done later. Therefore, they appear to be morose. They procrastinate. Anything which can be done in an hour, they drag on for years. Such workers are situated in the mode of ignorance. Text 29. Bhuter vedam jates chaiva gunatas trividam shunu rochamanam sheshena doctrina dananjaya buddhahe of intelligence vedam the differences buddhahe of steadiness cha also ava certainly gunataha by the modes of material nature trividam of three kinds shunu just here. Prochamanam, as described by me, Sheshena, in detail, Pitaktvena, but differently, Dhananjaya, a winner of wealth. A winner of wealth, now please listen as I tell you in detail the different kinds of understanding and determination according to the three modes of material nature. Now, a lot of this is going to appear to be repetitive. You know, sometimes you talk about understanding or knowledge and determination. You know, we just talked about determination in the mode of goodness. So a lot of this is repetitive information, but it bears hearing. Just so we understand that the modes of nature are actually shaping our behavior, shaping our consciousness, shaping our goals, unless we are Krishna conscious. Now, after explaining knowledge, the object of knowledge and the knower in three different divisions according to the modes of material nature, the Lord is explaining the intelligence and determination of the worker in the same way. Now, pravatim cha nivatim cha karya karya vayai vayai mandu moksham cha yaviti buddhi saparta saptaki pravatim doing cha also nivatim not doing cha and karya what ought to be done akarya. And what ought not to be done? Boya fear, abaye, and fearlessness. Bandham, bondage, moksham, liberation, cha, and ya. That which Vedi knows. Udihi, understanding, sa, that. Partha, son of Prita. Satviki, in the mode of goodness. O son of Prita, that understanding by which one knows what is the right thing. What ought to be done? What is not ought not to be done? What is to be feared? And what is not to be feared, what is binding, and what is liberating, is in the mode of goodness. So that's a very thoughtful Manishi, a very thoughtful person who understands, according to the Vedas, what is the right thing, what things you have to protect yourself from, what things you don't need to protect yourself from, because you should protect yourself against certain things, what activities bind you to this world, what activities get you out of the world. In other words, you're very thoughtful. You don't act on impulses, or you don't act in passion, simply thinking, how much more can I get for myself? I have to conquer him. I have to be admired. Performing actions in terms of the directions of scriptures is called pravriti, or executing actions that deserve to be performed. And actions which are not so directed are not to be performed. That's called nivriti. One who does not know the scriptural directions becomes entangled in the actions and reactions of the work. Understanding, which discriminates by intelligence, is situated in the mode of goodness. In other words, getting back to that example of the chariot we described in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that the chariot is your body, the horses are the senses, you know, five horses, the reins are the mind, the driver is the intelligence, and the passenger is the soul. So, therefore, the intelligence under the direction of the soul, which is being directed by the super soul, has to keep everything under control. So if the intelligence knows what is the right thing, what is the wrong thing, then if the mind starts to accept or reject things based upon its whimsy, sense gratification, the intelligence just pulls it back. The intelligence doesn't let the mind meditate on sense objects or things that are counterproductive for Krishna consciousness. You know, the verse I cite all the time, Jayatopasya Sangha, Sangostesha Vajayate, Sangat Sanjayate, Kama Kama Krodha Vajayate. When you meditate on something, when you think of something, you get attached to it. You think about what you're missing. Oh, I'm missing all my friends. And then you get attached to it. But if you don't think about it, it doesn't bother you. It's interesting. What you don't think about doesn't bother you. That particular thing or lack of that particular thing doesn't bother you. But when you begin to think about it, it bothers you because you meditate on it, contemplate. Let's use the word contemplate. And so the intelligence, what the intelligence does, if it sees the mind beginning to focus on something, it goes, hey, buddy, stop it. Focus on something better. Oh, someone may think when they join the Krishna consciousness movement, oh, I miss my intoxication or whatever. So the mind may gravitate towards that, but the intelligence says, don't focus on it. The more you focus on it, you become attached to it, and you attach to it. And then you become lusty, become angry. Ooh, you fall down, lose your intelligence to the material whirlpool, is what Bhagavad Gita says. So we want to be in the mode of goodness. Have the intelligence fixed in Krishna's direction. What is the best thing for my Krishna consciousness? And then you make your judgment or focus your mind according to that, and focus your activities according to that. In other words, accepting in a dispassionate way what is favorable and rejecting in a dispassionate way what is unfavorable. And that's really hard. It takes a lot of practice, as Krishna says in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, constant practice in detachment. It's like winning the Olympics. You got to practice, make your muscles strong, or whatever you're doing, you know, brain, muscles, whatever. So we have to make our intelligence very strong. Krishna consciousness is called Buddha Yoga, but you make your intelligence very strong and you get very determined. You know the right thing and you don't, whoops. I don't know why people have to call them in the class. I do not respond. I will not answer later on. But hold on a second. I have to disconnect. That person is calling. And I have to take this off of the computer. Okay. One who does not know the scripture directly becomes entangled in the action and reactions where understanding, which discriminates by intelligence, is situated in the mode of goodness. So text 31. Yaya dharmam adharmam cha karyam cha karyam eva cha ayatthavat vajanati buddhisa partha rajasi. Yaya, by which dharmam, the principles of religion, adharmam, irreligion, cha, and karyam, what ought to be done, cha, also, akaryam, what ought not to be done, eva, certainly, cha, also. Ayatavat, imperfectly, prajanati, knows. Buddhihi, intelligence, saw that. Partho, son of Pritha, rajasi, in the mode of passion. O son of Pritha, that understanding which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, between action that should be done, an action that should not be done, is in the mode of passion. In other words, you can't distinguish because your mind is actually covered by desires. In other words, you're just like passionate. You know, you're so passionate, you don't have time to think about it or research it or accept some authority. That's understanding the mode of passion. And dharmam dharmam ittiya manyate tamasa vritta sarvatan viparitams cha udisaparta tamasi dharmam irreligion dharmam religion iti thus ya which manyate thinks tamasa by illusion avritta covered sarva artam all things uparitan in the wrong direction cha also buddhihi intelligence sa that partha asana pritha tamasi in the mode of ignorance. So that understanding, which considers, you know, it's the opposite, religion, irreligion to be religion, and religion to be irreligion under the spell of illusion and darkness and strives always in the wrong direction, opartha is in the mode of ignorance. Self-explanatory. Intelligence in the mode of ignorance is always working the opposite of the way it should. It accepts religions which are not actually religious and rejects actual religion. In other words, it accepts things in the mode of ignorance, like worship of ghosts and spirits to be religious. And worship in the mode of goodness, it considers to be irreligious. Men in ignorance understand a great soul to be a common man and accept a common man as a great soul. Don't we often see that? They think truth to be untruth and accept untruth as truth. Actually, there's a different psychological factor, and I forget the name for it, that if you tell a lie enough times, people will accept it, even though they know it's a lie. It becomes part of their psychology. It's called the Dunning-something syndrome. In all activities, they simply take the wrong path. Therefore, their intelligence is in the mode of ignorance. You know, wrong way. Everything's the wrong way. Text 33. Vritcha yaya dharayate mana panendriya kriyaha yogena vya vicharindya triti saparta sattviki. Now we're talking about determination. Vritcha, determination, yaya, by which dharayate, one sustains manaha, the mind, prana, life, indriya, and senses, kriyaha, the activities, yogena, by yoga practice, avya vicharindya, without any break, Drittahi, determination, sa, that, partha, O son of Pritha, sattviki, in the mode of goodness. O son of Pritha, that determination which is unbreakable, which is sustained by steadfastness in yoga practice, and which thus controls the activities of the mind, life, and senses, determination in the mode of goodness. And we explain what that means in terms of the analogy we spoke about a few minutes ago with the horses, the reins, the driver, and the passenger. And also the chariot, which is the body. So unbreakable because one is one-pointed. The same thing we said before. Yoga practice, yoga means to connect. You're connected with your goal. And you control your mind, life, senses. Anyway, mode of goodness. Yoga is a means to understand the Supreme Soul. One who is steadily fixed in the Supreme Soul with determination, concentrating one's mind, life, and sensory activities on the Supreme, engages in Krishna consciousness. That sort of determination is in the mode of goodness. The word abhyavicharindya is very significant, for it indicates that persons who are engaged in Krishna consciousness are never deviated by any other activity. And we are going pretty quickly. So text 34. Yaya tu dharma kamartam vritcha dharyate rjuna sanghena palakangshi tritisaparta rajasi. Yaya, by which tu bhat dharma, religiosity, kama, sense gratification, artan, and economic development, vritcha, by determination, dharyate, one sustains Arjuna or Arjuna prasangena because of attachment, pala akangshi, desiring fruit of results, drittahi, determination, sa, that, partha, son of Pritha, rajasi, in the mode of passion. But that determination by which one holds fast to fruit of results, and this is very similar to verses we read before in this chapter, in religion, economic development, and sense gratification, this is called dharma, artha, and kama, I'll explain what this is, of the nature of passion. This is standard descriptions, these words. Dharma means like mundane religion for economic development. Economic, not just referring to money, it can refer to just gross possessions. Dharma, artha, and kama refers to gratifying the senses. So you're very determined. And I mentioned before, giving my father as an example, he wanted to have a lot of economic development so he can engage in sense gratification. Fortunately, I was able to engage a lot of that economic development in Krishna's service. So he got liberated by the grace of, I can't say my grace, anyway, by the grace of my doing service for Krishna. So that's determination in the mode of passion. Very, very determined. You can see someone in the mode of passion is very determined, like big businessmen, just very, very determined. Because they want either very determined, to be seen as very religious, to make a lot of money, or to engage in a lot of sense gratification. And you see some politicians like that too. Purport. Any person who is always desirous of fruitive results in religious or economic activities, whose only desire is sense gratification, both subtle and gross. Subtle means proper adoration, distinction. People will admire me. I will have a lot of fans, a lot of disciples, and whose mind, life, and senses are thus engages in the mode of passion. And next text. Yayaswapnam mayam shokam visharam madame vacha na vibunchati dhurmeda dhriti saparta tamasi. And you can probably guess what someone is like in the mode of passion and determination. But you'll see. Yaya, by which swapnam, dreaming, mayam, fearfulness, shokam, lamentation, visharam, moroseness, madam, illusion, eva, certainly, cha, also, na, never. Vibunchati, one gives up. Dhurmeda, unintelligent. Drittihi, determination. Sa, that, partha, osana pritta, tamasi, in the mode of ignorance. And that determination which cannot go beyond dreaming, fearfulness, lamentation, moroseness, and illusion, such unintelligent determination, osana pritta, in the mode of darkness. Remember, we just talked about procrastination. That's like the same thing. Dreaming, fearfulness, lamentation, morose, and illusion about what you are. Anyway, so that's obviously in the mode of ignorance. It should not be concluded the person in the mode of goodness does not dream. Here, dream means too much sleep. Dreaming is always present, either in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. Dreaming is a natural occurrence. But those who cannot avoid oversleeping, who cannot avoid the pride of enjoying material objects, who are always dreaming of lording it over the material world, and whose life, mind, and senses are thus engaged, are considered to have determination in the mode of ignorance. They're dreaming of enjoying the world, but they're not doing anything about it. You know, one day I will be successful. I'm not going to do anything about it, but, you know, Krishna will help me. So, sukham tvidaniyam tvidaram shunume vatatashava abhyasa dramate yatra yukham tam cha nigachati. Sukham, happiness too, but idanam now tvidaram, three kinds of happiness. Shunu here, may, from me, Bharata Rishabha, best of the Bharatas, Abhyasat, by practice, Ramate, one enjoys, yet aware, Dukkha, of distress, Antam, the end, Cha, also, Nigachati, gains. O best of the Bharatas, now please hear from me about the three kinds of happiness by which the conditioned soul enjoys and by which he sometimes comes to the end of all distress. Prabhupada explains, the conditioned soul tries to enjoy material happiness again and again, thus he chews the chewed. Of course, that's from the Bhagavad Gita. Purnat Purnas Charvita Charvandanam, which is a statement about Pallad Maharaj made. But sometimes in the course of such enjoyment, he becomes relieved from material entanglement by association with great souls, with a great soul. In other words, a conditioned soul is always engaged in some type of sense gratification, but when he understands by good association that is only a repetition of the same thing and he is awakened to his real Krishna consciousness, he is sometimes relieved from such repetitive so-called happiness. That's a very important point. Purnak Purnaschar Vitachar Vandanam. It's like we said before, it's like taking some bubble gum and you actually chew it quite a bit. There's no more sugar in it, and you keep chewing it, hoping you're going to have some happiness from it. Or as Albert Einstein said, the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. It's called chewing the already chewed. So the only way we can be relieved from this cycle of chewing the already chewed and thinking next time, the next, like if you're a young lady, the next boy I meet, he'll give me happiness, or the next young girl we meet, or the next meal that I eat, it will give me happiness. Or the next computer I buy, or the next car I buy. And you just go through this repetitive cycle over and over and over again, and you don't learn until you come into Krishna consciousness or association with someone who is Krishna conscious. And then you wake up and say, wow, I've been doing the same things. Like that myth of Sisyphus. That's a punishment given in Greek theology or anyway. In Iliad and the Odyssey, it talks about this punishment. It's given in Hades, which is like hell, where someone rolls a stone up the hill and he gets to the top. I've got it made. And it rolls down. He has to roll it up again, roll it down, roll it up again. So it's like that, you know. Don't you understand? You tried it so many times. And people don't understand, don't awaken to that fact, unless they have the association of a great devotee. So on that happy note, if it is really happy, we will take some questions. Stopping our sharing right now. And we will allow you 1 second to ask some questions. Okay. You are now allowed to ask questions. Chewing the already chewed. Who wants to chew the already chewed? Who wants to just keep doing the same thing, life after life? How many boyfriends and husbands and wives have you had? Unlimited. Chew. How many meals have you eaten? Unlimited.
I'll jump on that bandwagon, Maharaj.
All right. Okay, jump on the bandwagon.
Chewing the truth. So where does the role of hope, does hope have a part in it at all? Because I think a lot of that chewing the truth is hope that this time it will be different, you know.
Yeah.
So is there a role for hope?
Yeah, Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
But we discover, you know, keep doing the same thing, we discover it ain't different. I mean, there's some variety in disappointment. Disappointment comes in different varieties, but it's like that. You know, we put our faith and trust in what's called in the Bhagavatam a fallible soldier. Here's a sannyas class for you. Anyway. I forget the exact Sanskrit for it. Anyway, the Bhagavatam talks about this. How we have these fallible soldiers and we put our faith in them. And then we keep putting our faith in it. So one who actually is Krishna conscious, you realize it's not going to work.
So we shouldn't put out any hope in anything material?
Let me mute some of these people. In Krishna service, if we dedicate our whole lives in Krishna service, then we don't put our faith. We may hope for the best. There's a difference between hoping for the best. You know, like, I mean, for example, let's say I'm sick and I have to go to the hospital. We hope that I'll get cured. Mm-hmm. But we're not sure of it. You know, there's a difference between hope. Always hope should be there for even for material adjustments because, you know, we need some basic comfortable situation. We need to have our needs met. So the hope should be there. But having faith that it will happen, I mean, how often have we all been disappointed? Yeah, you know, many times we've been disappointed. And sometimes things will work out. So we can hope that it will work out, but we shouldn't put our faith that we keep doing the same thing and then we're going to get a different result. So many times we tried so many things in this world. Like I keep thinking, if I have a nice computer, I will be happy. It's really interesting. Then you get a computer and then something else drives you crazy in the new computer. We're always thinking, once I get this, I will be happy. It doesn't work. A new car a new phone. Just like one of my disciples, one of my sincere, loving, wonderful disciples said, Guru Maharaj, I love you so much. I'm going to get you the latest edition of the phone when it comes out. You know, he loves me so much. It's because I have a Pixel 3. He says, I will get you a Pixel 5. And there's hope. Wow. How much love does he have for me? He's going to get me a Pixel. I'm not going to describe what a Pixel is. Anyway, in this particular case, it's a phone. So I'm thinking, when I get it, I will truly be happy. And then I get it, and then it's old after a day. You know, it's like, you know, how many phones since there have been mobile phones, I've been through so many phones, it's actually incredible. And each time I get a new one, it's like getting a new toy. I'm thinking, this is so blissful. Let me bless the devotee who got it for me. But then it's the same old experience. It's a new phone, but it's the same old people I'm talking to. Isn't it? It's the same old rascals I get to know. Can't blast the devotee. But what are you doing at the phone? It's like, you know, it's just Maya in a different, you know, more sophisticated Maya. But it's nice. I also appreciate it. It's a symptom of love. As it said in the Upadesamrita, Vidati Pratigranati Guyamakyati Prichiti Bhakti Bhojyate Chaiva. That the symptoms of love are revealing your mind in confidence, hearing from others, giving prasadam, accepting prasadam, giving phones and accepting phones. I'm just joking. Just making that up. So, you know, I appreciate the devotion. But I'm saying that, you know, there's always that expectation that this time it's going to be it. This time is going to be, my life will be wonderful because I have the latest phone. I mean, with other people, it may not be phones. It may be something else like a car or, you know, it's like that. I mean, it's like also whenever I get a new pair of glasses, of course I'm not wearing my glasses, I'm thinking now this life will be better. So it's just, yeah, we always have this hope. But we should give up our faith that, you know, things will change until we become Krishna. We have faith in Krishna consciousness. My faith right now is if I become Krishna conscious, then I will be happy. I'll be ecstatic. I mean, that's my faith. Krishna will be happy with me. Prabhupada will be happy with me. I'll be able to spread Krishna consciousness better. That's my faith. But hope, you know, I got a lot of hopes, but I don't have faith in any of my hopes. Actually, I've given up. Actually, this is described, I think it was in the 11th canto or 12th canto of the Bhagavatam. Oh, yeah. There's a story of Pingala the prostitute. Should I tell that story? Oh, my God. It's a terrible story. So she was... There was this Avaduta Brahman, and he was learning by observing different aspects of the material nature. And one thing he learned from is by watching a prostitute. Don't do that in general. Not a good idea. But he was doing it. He was detached. He's watching the prostitute. All night, the prostitute was thinking, I guess she was like a girlfriend or something. He was thinking, I will find someone who loves me. I will find someone who loves me all night. And then at the end of the, I should read that part of the Bhagavatam. At the end of the night, she realizes it wasn't a good idea. And she becomes Krishna conscious and she goes back to home, back to God. Anyway, so happy ending. So there's some story about giving up, you know, giving up trust or impractical hope in the aspects of this material world. You know, obviously we can hope for little things. You know, we hope that someone gets better. If they go to the hospital, hope we get better. We can hope that, like you're in New Zealand, the weather will get warmer in a little while. You know, because right now, I guess you're going to be entering spring pretty soon.
It's getting there. Yeah, but sometimes, yeah, you're right. Sometimes we have faith despite all the evidence, or sorry, not faith, hope, despite all the evidence and the number of times it hasn't worked, but we still hold on to that.
Yeah, we hold on to that hope against hope. You know, yeah. And that hope, you know, anyway, that keeps us going in the material world. But ultimately, we come to the point of understanding that gratification of the senses is not going to make us happy. Mm. Possessing someone or possessing something is not going to make us happy. You know, ultimately we come to the point, we tried it so many times before and it hasn't made me happy. So it's not going to make me happy now. I can use something in Krishna's service. Like we talk about the phone, I'm extremely grateful. He's getting me the latest iPhone. Not iPhone, I hate iPhones. He's getting me the latest Pixel. I'm extremely grateful, and that's his bhakti. But I don't think it's going to make me happy. It's going to give me more facility for serving Krishna. Funny example.
Thank you.
Hopefully, I don't think it's going to make me happy. So, well, we may think by going on this vacation, it's going to make me happy, you know, when I finally can get on a plane again and fly to, of course it will make me happy to go see all the nice devotees in New Zealand and Australia and Fiji and everywhere around the world. That will be, because that's Vaishnava Sangha. But some people, actually there's this latest type of fun that people have, because many countries are closed and you can't fly anywhere right now to different countries. So now people are hiring planes to fly to nowhere. What does that mean? They actually get in a plane for 8 hours and they end up in the same spot they came to. Qantas is doing that with many of its clients. And it was fully booked. When they put it out to be booked, 10 minutes later, the whole plane was booked solid. Can you imagine that? It was called the flight to nowhere. You just get in the plane. And who wants to sit in a plane for 8 hours and not go anywhere? But there's this hope that somehow or other they'll be happy. And what are they doing? They're just sitting cramped in their seats and, you know, whatever, for 8 hours. But there's that hope it's going to give them happiness. Or people go into outer space to the space station and then they come back again. Anyway, we understand, yes, we want to do things in this world, but we should understand what will actually give us happiness. Our faith is the internal happiness coming from Krishna, pleasing Krishna. Yes, I mean, we can have desires in this world. I'm not negating that. We can have plans in this world, not negating that. We should be practical in this world. We should understand our needs in this world. But ultimately, we understand what's going to bring us satisfaction, the Atma Supersedity, satisfy the self is Krishna, and love of Krishna and association with the devotees and all that other nice stuff that goes along with it. Okay, I think we have a question from Gopal Cohen. That's actually a mixture of two religions. His first religion is a Hindu, and then he is also Jewish, you know, he's a Hindu. So anyway, so.
Hindu. Can you hear me, Gurdjieff?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's the question?
So just a follow-up question. I've heard you say before, I don't know who you were quoting, but you said, hopelessness is the greatest happiness. Can you expound on that?
That's in the Bhagavad Gita. I believe it. I have to look it up, but I believe that's the story of Pingala. I have to look it up. So I'm at least paraphrasing that. The story of Pingala in the Bhagavad Gita. I'll have to look it up a little later. When one doesn't have any unrealistic expectations of this world. When we have unrealistic expectations, then we get disappointed. If we're actually realistic about this world, then you won't get disappointed. The disappointment actually is a source of misery. Right? You know, if I have this expectation that I'm going to be healthy and live to like 150 years old, then it'd be like a prune with legs on it. Then if I have that expectation, you know, it's just like, let's say if Krishna appeared and he said, what do you want? I said, I want to live to 150 years old. Then I would actually find out that it wasn't something I really want. It'd be like so many wrinkles, I'd have to have rubber bands to hold my eyes open or something like that, if that particular point. So anyway, so we don't want to ask material benedictions from Krishna for that reason. Because you may get it and it may end up like Grandfather Bhishma. I was thinking about this. He got the benediction from his father not to die unless he wanted to die. And that didn't really appear to be, by the end of the Mahabharata, it didn't appear to be a benediction. You know, he was just like cursed out to suffer all this stuff. So sometimes benedictions appear or manifest themselves as causing misery. So anyway, I'm not saying that one should be hopeless. The main hope one should have is in Krishna consciousness. The main trust one should have is in Krishna consciousness. The main faith one should have is in Krishna consciousness. That's called Ashabandha. That even though in the nectar devotion states, even though right now we may have no taste for the processes of hearing and chanting, we understand that by continuing to practice and serving Srila Prabhupada, we will achieve the goal of Krishna consciousness. So that's hope against hope. In other words, that's our faith. And we also have faith, as Krishna says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Puna Vartino Arjuna Mamu Pechidu Kantiya Puna Janma Navidyate. If we put our hope of happiness in material acquirements, material sense gratification, that's passion in ignorance, then it's hopeless. Said from the highest planet to the lowest planet. You understand? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, great.
Yeah, he says from Hawaii to where else? Alaska. Krishna says from Hawaii to Alaska, or the Eskimos in Alaska. All are places of misery where repeated birth and death takes place. Not if you go to Hawaii, which actually Prabhupada said is the nicest place in the material world, that there's no death, disease, old age, frustration, anger. They exist there. You can ask people who live there. And if you go to heaven, you've still got the same thing. There's frustration, anger. I mean, no disease, but it's pretty bad there too. Okay, on that happy note, about the material world, I'm very positive about this material world, because if you use it for serving Krishna, the very same thing that causes the difficulty can be the cause of your entanglement, because of your liberation, sorry. But just like the example is given of a thorn, the very same thing, you know, a thorn that's stuck in your foot can be also utilized to take out the thorn. So this material world can be used to get you out of the material world. take you back to Krishna's lotus feet. So it's very positive. I feel very positive about the material world. It depends upon your attitude towards it, your desire to enjoy it.
Can I give my modern version of that analogy?
Yeah.
Blue tack. When you've got blue tack on something and you need to get it off, the only way to get it off is with more blue tack.
Yes, that's true. That's the only way to get it off. Blue tack is like what you use on the deities sometimes. The only way to get it off is with other, like, sticky substances. So, anyway, be happy. Don't worry about it. Mature world is not a good place, not pleasant. If one tries to enjoy it, but if one tries to use it to serve Krishna, then Vishwam Purna Shukayate becomes a very pleasant place. I'm happy here in the material world. I'm happy because I'm serving Krishna. But as soon as I try to squeeze some happiness out of the tongue or any other aspect or any sense, then I actually very disturbing. Very disturbing. Intelligent man doesn't take part in the sources of material misery. Such pleasures have a beginning and the end. The wise man does not delight in them. That's Bhagavad Gita, of course. Okay, on that happy note, we will see everybody tomorrow. Same time, same station. We're going to be finished with the Gita pretty soon. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Ki.